We enter into God's gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Can you hear that? It was live earlier.
Yeah, now.
Can you hear it? Welcome, everyone. Can you hear it? Can you hear me now?
Speak up.
Let's recognize first-time visitors. Any first-time visitors to my left? Any first-time visitors in the center section? First-time visitors on the right. Well, welcome everyone back. The announcements are printed in your bulletin. It's a pretty busy week, of course. If you could get your bulletins out and look through there. We have Thursday night, Monday, Thursday. We have Good Friday service. Everyone like to attend. You need to mention anything about Thursday?
It's written pretty plainly.
6:45, and you can come at 5:30.
Between 5:30 and 6:30, if you can't come for the gathering. We will gather at 6:45. If you must come, if you can't be here for then, it'll be come at your convenience between 5:30 and 6:30. I'll be here, and things will be ready to go.
Registration books, Lewis, could you get them on that side? You got them on that side there? Okay, guys, thank you. Today is the 20th. If you could put the date down and 10:15. Prayer and praise request.
For that next Sunday will be probably the biggest attendance that we'll have this year. Last year it was. If you are a regular here, if you can make sure that no stranger gets in and does not get a welcome, make sure everybody gets a welcome. Also, some of you men, or women could do it too, I guess, might need to be in the parking lot to make sure that people can find the parking space. The area behind the gymnasium is solid ground. It just has grass growing over it so people can park there. Hopefully it wouldn't be raining. But we just wanted to make sure that everybody acts as a welcoming person or as a host and feels the responsibility to be a good greeter next Sunday.
Maybe some of us younger families can maybe park in the far end of the parking lot and kind of leave these open for others. That may be good this next Sunday. Prayer and praise request. Praise. See Joyce with us. Thank you, Joyce, for coming, and glad you could be here. Any other prayer request or praise request? Charles West. Mike.
Susan Dornan, eye surgery yesterday, went back for a checkup this morning, things fine, and that's minor surgery now, just corrective surgery. Diana Howe at the minister to the United Methodist Church, they discovered this week she had cancer. That C word is always a frightening word. So they'll pray up in prayer. Where's Fuquay? Ed Fuquay's dad, Ed Senior, had to go back to the hospital, and he's having breathing problems, very severe.
What's his name?
Brad.
Brad.
I have a phrase. My mother-in-law and father-in-law, Melvin and Helen, celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary Friday. And Nathan Quinn, Jennifer, and Ashley Ball's friend is home from Iraq. Safe.
Joey, an outstanding teacher at Melissa Elementary, did pass away this week. She's been on our prayer list for some time. So she has a son and a daughter and a husband. And she's 51. I would pray for her family and try to greet her and the staff at Melissa Elementary and students there. And for our J20 community, who has been the interim teacher for this time.
Okay, let's remember this list, our prayer list, others, Christ's sacrifice for us. In a moment of silent prayer as we begin our worship of God. Amen. Worship is responsive. It's printed in your bulletin. Open to me the gates of righteousness,
that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
I thank Thee that Thou hast answered me and hast become my salvation.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Let's all stand. Turn in our hymnals to hymn 174. Hosanna. Loud Hosanna.
Exalted.
just roll in lowly state, nor scorn that with the children, but on his bidding wait. Oh, God,
all stand together. Children, will you stand with us also? Will you stand up with us? And we'll pray together. All of you stand, okay? Maybe you have a prayer to offer this morning. Do any of our children have a prayer to offer this morning? Let's hear you offer your prayer. We'll follow you. Anyone else, especially the children? Lord God, we thank you that we can come as your people praying to you, O God, making our requests known unto you. And Father, we remember on that Palm Sunday, that ancient one, that your people prayed for you to save. Save us. Save us. They were looking to Jesus as that Savior. And we come, O Lord, we look to Jesus, the Savior. Thank you that we can come into your house in His name. We can come and experience your presence, His presence. Lord, that we can know you through Jesus Christ. And thank you. We praise you. We wave our palm branches before you. And we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
We express our faith in God in the statement of faith, the Apostles' Creed. It's printed in your hymnal. It is responsive, 7:16. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now,
Please, to hymn 186, The Old Rugged Cross. And let's sing 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4. Hymn 487. Let's sing the first verse only. Would you play that through for us, please, Mike?
Perfect peace in this dark world. This morning we have a special treat for you. First, we're going to show you a little video that was made during Sunday school. Susan Gross, who's not here today, was the workshop leader for our elementary and preschool children. They reenacted the Palm Sunday story, and she got it on video, and two of our children are going to read the Palm Sunday story for you while the video displays, and then Kelly has got a musical presentation for you. Off the word. Presentation for you that the children have been working on for several weeks. We need a microphone.
Luke 19:28-40, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell them the Lord needs it." Those who were sent ahead and found it, just as he had told them, as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied.
They brought it to Jesus. They threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the roads gone down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyful to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Bless the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out."
Thank you. Jesus, you made us new world, you glorified.
Children, y'all can go with Miss Julie to children's time. Praise be to God from the mouth of babes.
Amen.
We express our thanks to God. Our offertory sense today is from Ephesians 5:2. And live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The ushers, please come forward.
Today we celebrate your triumphant entry to the city. Lord, you did so much for us, we don't know how to stop and say thanks. Take our offerings today and our tithes, multiply them, use them here in this place and around the world. Bring about your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray.
Jesus took on the curse of sin, a curse intended for us. Sin made us the enemy of God. Good Friday, 6 days away, but our Lord's sacrifice is worth much more than a day of remembrance. Take time between now and Easter Sunday to daily reflect on the love Christ showed for us. His was true courage. For he completed the most difficult task God ever commanded through his faith in God's promise and power. May God open our hearts and ears to his word.
I was thinking as all the children sang and all the events that were going on there. I was thinking Miss Hannah smiling this morning for the prayer of a grandchild. for the playing of a guitar by her son, and for the reading of the scripture by a granddaughter, and also for Noah reading, for all the children singing, for Kelly participating. I thought it was just wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And for the movie, for the little movie of the children and Palm Sunday, and that's what it is. And now the triumphal entry, taken from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40 from the New International Version. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter in, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." And now from Luke chapter 23, verses 27 through 33, also from the New International Version. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. The Word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, choir and Sam. Thank you, Dickie. But especially to the children and Kelly and John. And John has been working with them. And I believe others have also. And it's what we do on Wednesday evening at 5:30 or thereabout. We'll talk about parades this morning. We'll talk about two parades. And I wonder this morning, I think everybody could raise their hand to this one. Who's seen a parade? Who's seen a parade? Okay. Everybody's seen a parade. So you know what I'm talking about. What is he talking about? Who's ever been in a parade? Okay. Most of us have been in a parade. My first parade was a Christmas parade, if I remember correctly. We went to Columbus, Mississippi, down on Main Street, Highway 82, where 82 and 45 intersect, one going north and south, the odd number, even number going east and west, and there was a Christmas parade. More than one year I was there. I'm not sure which year, but it seemed like every year it was cold. We went and watched the floats, bands, Santa Claus. And I guess there were some horses there. Hopefully those horses were at the rear of the parade, not at the first. But they often put them right up at the first, right in front of the bands. Have you ever been there? Hopefully not, but you probably have. A country boy go to town. And we wanted to see Santa Claus. And it was cold. Mississippi cold is cold, cold. Damp cold. Wet cold. Sticking as close to my parents as I could because I did not want to get lost in that big crowd Where would I sleep? Since then, there have been many parades, homecoming parades, Nolensville United Methodist Church parade for, what is it, Lawn Festival? We've been in that time and time again. Thanksgiving Day parades, Rose Bowl parades, and many, many more. Even a presidential parade. Yes, I got to go to one of them once. I think it was President Carter came to town, came to Nashville, and we got to see him. Maybe some of you were there. We just might not have known you then. The most famous parade, I wish I could tell you about it. I even planned to, and I said, oh no, have to leave that one out. But Carol was in it. Blow out on the parade wagon or the float and all like that. You can ask her about it. Her and a bunch of children and one more lady, and it was fun for everybody that was laughing at us because we had a blowout on our parade. We would have won the best float if it hadn't been for that blowout. Would we not have, Carol? Our lesson tells about Jesus being in a parade, actually two parades. And Jesus was the center of attention at both of them. The first one was on Palm Sunday. We saw somewhat of a reenactment of it this morning by the children coming with their palm branches. And the video, we've lost it, haven't we? Could we go back real quick? But we don't need to. But we could. Maybe we could. If you can, put it up there. All four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, all. They don't all tell the same thing. They're not just alike. They don't need to be. Wouldn't be a need for the other one if it was just like the previous one, would it? They tell a little different, but all four of them tell about this Palm Sunday parade, this event. John, the fourth Gospel, John names the tree from which the branches were taken that were thrown in the street or on the road to welcome Jesus in, that the donkey would have to step over. Luke just talks about throwing their cloaks. Is that right? Just the cloaks. Doesn't mention the branches. John says the palm tree. Thus it became known as Palm Sunday. At this time, Jerusalem was occupied by Romans. Military occupation. Roman government. They controlled everything that they could. The known world, basically. And they sent their soldiers there to keep peace and all that other stuff that goes along with occupation. Collect taxes. The Romans had been there for some time. The Israelites kept hoping for the Messiah who would come and lead them, and their anticipation of the Messiah was anticipation of a military leader who would come in the fashion of David of old and would overthrow the Roman occupiers and run them out of town. Send them packing, so to speak. The prophets had promised a Messiah who would come to save the people and would redeem Israel. There had been many uprisings through the years since the Romans took control. The Maccabees were most popular in some circles at least. They kept rising up. The Romans would put them down. But there was still that hope that the Israelites could overcome. Run them out of town. But every uprising had been squashed. Jesus was their hope. They had seen Him do marvelous miracles. They had even seen Him raise a dead person who had been dead and in the tomb for 4 days.
of the name of Lazarus. And they had seen other miracles, like the feeding of 5,000 people when there was no food, or they thought there wasn't any. But Jesus hadn't blessed the small morsels that they had. He was their hope for freedom. So when Jesus rode into town on that day that became known later and is known to us as Palm Sunday, the cries were, it's printed, Hosanna, but that translated is save us. Come and save us. Come and save us. Save us, save us. So the crowd that day, with anticipation of being saved from the Romans and set free to rule their own country as they wish, they welcomed Jesus with open arms. They welcomed Him with much exuberance. He was their latest hope. And they welcomed Him with a hero's welcome, really. Hosanna. Hosanna. Some of the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And He said, if they remain silent, even the stones will begin to proclaim His welcome. Or it's a message that must be told. It's a message that you can't keep quiet. But by Friday, the mood had changed. Jesus wasn't so welcome anymore. One might observe that the welcome had been withdrawn. The welcome mat had been taken up, stashed away somewhere under some stairs, I guess. Jesus was not so welcome because from Sunday to Thursday, to late Thursday, Jesus had not fulfilled their expectations. And He let them know that He wasn't there as a military leader. He had even gone to the temple, the Jewish temple, the Israeli temple, and challenged those people and had hoped He would save them. Does anyone remember a man back in the 1800s, or just reading about him, named Napoleon? A Frenchman? Emperor? One time he received, up in Switzerland, a welcome like that Jesus received, or somewhat like that Jesus received when He went into Jerusalem. Napoleon's army was moving through Switzerland, and everywhere they went, Napoleon and his army were greeted. They were greeted with thunderous applause. And the shouts were, "Long live the King! Vive la France! Hail to the Emperor Napoleon!" But Napoleon didn't seem too excited. He took it with a grain of salt, I guess. He took it for really what it was. And so one of his supporters said to him one day, "Isn't it great, Napoleon, to hear the roar of the crowd? Isn't it great to have the support of the people?" Napoleon, in his wisdom, replied, "The same people who are cheering me today would cheer just as loudly at my execution." And that's essentially what happened to Jesus. Those who were screaming a loud welcome on Sunday, the first day of the week, they were cheering just as loudly for His crucifixion, which was His execution. To quote another, "One day you're their hero, the next day, you could be a total zero." John's Gospel. We read from Luke's, but let's look at John's Gospel. John's Gospel tells us something about those disciples, the many who who knew about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Many of those who saw Jesus or heard about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead followed Jesus. Many Jews became believers. I guess you would call them today Messianic Jews. They trusted in Jesus as their Savior, their Lord. They trusted in the Messiah. The 12th chapter of John, the 17th verse, says that people who were present when Lazarus was raised spread the word. If you see a dead man be raised to new life, what do? We go spread the word, do we not? Nothing, seen nothing like it before. It's something to talk about. So they went and spread the word of what Jesus had done. And many came out to welcome Him. Maybe they were hoping for a miracle of some kind. Previously, back in the 6th chapter of John, Jesus had spoken of those who were with Him, that they were there because He had fed the 5,000 on a previous day. Back in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, Jesus fed 5,000 with the small amount of food that one boy provided, performed a miracle, stuffed their stomachs. A good thing to do. Maybe those who were following Jesus were hoping for another good meal. Maybe they were hoping for another miracle. Maybe they had a loved one who had just died. Maybe less than 4 days he had been in the grave or the tomb. Maybe they were hoping that Jesus would raise their loved one to new life. Maybe they were hoping that He would take a withered arm and make it useful again. Maybe they were hoping that He would take their blind eyes and give them sight. They knew about Him doing all of these miracles. Maybe they were hoping for something that Jesus could help them with. But Jesus, He spoke of a greater gift that He brought. Something greater and of greater value. He spoke of life eternal with God through Himself. And He knew that He came not to make life that much better upon earth, but He came to provide a life that could tolerate a bad life on earth, but certainly provided an eternity that was far greater than anything anybody could ever hope for on earth. Yes, it was pie in the sky, by and by, that He brought. But they were more interested in eating ham where they were. As one guy says, I want some ham where I am. But Jesus can give us ham where we am, but He also has a greater blessing. Eternity with God in the heavens. Mark Axelrod. You say, who is Mark Axelrod? Well, he's just another preacher that I'd like to quote. He says, a lot of people cheering for Jesus on Palm Sunday were simply caught up in the excitement of the event. A parade is going on. Somebody hears the noise. They see the crowd, so they come out to join in. And people are clapping and they clap with them. People are welcoming the central figure of the parade and they are there to welcome Him. Maybe like some of us in NCAA basketball. Haven't watched the game all year, but I've gotten interested in the last week, just a little bit. We kind of get caught up in the hysteria of the situation. Says they were simply caught up in the excitement of the event. But he says they were not ready. They were not ready to commit their lives to Jesus. They were not ready to join up with Him through the thick and the thin. And then he asked the question, so I pose it too. Is that the reason that Jesus wept over Jerusalem? See, we stop reading in Luke at verse 40, chapter 19, verse 40. But you go ahead and read verse 41. Talks about Jesus looking over Jerusalem and would have healed them, would have blessed them. His way, not their way. And they would not have him because they couldn't take him as he was. They only wanted him as they wanted him to be. And he wept over Jerusalem because they were not ready to commit to him. How often is that the case today? He loved them so much. He loved Jerusalem. The people there. He loves all people. But they wouldn't love him back. And that might be the situation today in so many cases. He loves us so much, but we don't want to love him back. Axelrod speaks of carnival Christians. Carnival Christians. You've seen them. They enjoy the fun, but they shy away from the obedience. They don't want the obligations. They don't want a commitment. They don't want to shovel out the stables. They just want to ride on the back of the donkey. When the people of Jerusalem saw Jesus, they saw them as the Savior of their world, not His kingdom. Not the Savior for His kingdom. They saw Him as their victorious King. And I emphasize their. They could worship Him as long as He was theirs. They could worship Him and run with Him as long as He did what they wanted. They could support Him when He was doing their thing. But when the going became difficult, when the going became demanding, when it became uncomfortable to serve Jesus and to follow Jesus, they were not there. So the Good Friday parade had a drastically different tone than the Palm Sunday parade. A much different poem. I realize it was possibly a different group of people. Luke talks and mentions that it was Jesus' disciples. He uses the word His disciples who were welcoming Him to the city on Palm Sunday. But where were these disciples on Friday? Were they present and had changed their mind, or were they just off hiding? The 12 were off hiding somewhere, except John was at a distance with Jesus' mother. How different are they from us? How different are we than they? Are we a whole lot different? We would be with Jesus even in His trying hours. Are we not much different? We would run and hid too. No accusations, just a question. I have to ask myself that same question. When the going gets tough, which way do we get to going? People, Jesus has a blessing for us. Jesus has a blessing for us today, in this life, in this earthly existence that He has placed us in. But even those blessings come through the cross. He had to go to the cross Someone put it, no cross, no crown. No cross, no crown. Jesus went to the cross for us, dying there. I think of Him carrying the cross. Carrying the cross through town. That wasn't a very exciting parade, was it? A cross on His shoulder, carrying His own cross to the place of execution. He fell under it. He had to have some help. They conscripted Simon and asked him, or forced him to come and assist Jesus, to help Him. And Jesus had spoken of us taking up our cross. Us taking up our cross, denying ourselves. He said, if anybody will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. Folks, it's a natural thing for us to want to have our own wants and desires satisfied. We're natural when we want to have self-satisfied. But Jesus wants us to experience His presence in heaven. He wants us to have more than this existence here. He blesses us now, no question. But He promises a much greater blessing is to follow. The blessing of heaven. Country fair. Used to go to the country fair. Loved it. It was the high point of the summer. We were looking forward to the fair coming to town. You know what we had to do to get to the fair? We had to pick cotton. In this country, it was shear sheep or working tobacco. And it was tough. We had to go through a cross. We had to bear a cross to get to go to the fair and have any money to spend. And we would go and spend it all in one day. Half a day if we didn't watch it. To have that fun, that experience, we had to bear a cross. I read a little story taken concerning The League of Their Own. You remember the movie? Gina Davis had a fight with her sister. So she decided to quit the game. It was a girls' baseball team. Quitting the game, she went to her room and began to pack her things. Her manager found her and asked her, "Why are you leaving?" There was no answer. Screaming, he said to her, "Why are you leaving?" And she says, "Because I don't like the game anymore. It's just not too hard." And he replied, "It's supposed to be hard. If it was easy, everyone would do it. The hard is what makes it great." And I'm convinced it's the hard part that makes following Jesus so great. Don't run from it. Bow your back and go into it full force. 5:11 is the number. 1 and 3 are the verses that we want to sing. Will you stand with me as we sing? "Now I belong to Jesus. And I'm going to stick with Him through thick and thin. Through the bad times as well as the good." 1 and 3, 5:11. Maybe you want to make a public response. Maybe God is speaking to you and saying, commit your life to this Jesus, knowing that every day won't be easy and there will be some tough times. But the reward out there is so great. I'm going to give my life to Him because I want to inherit that. If that's what you feel that He is saying or something like that to you today, meet me here in the altar. We'll pray. We'll get that settled before this day is over. 5:11. Thank you.
Lord Jesus, hold us close. Keep us safe. Let us not give up. Through Jesus Christ, we pray.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you
and give you peace.
And give you peace.
And give you peace.
And give you peace.
The Lord lift His face
to shine upon you.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to hang out.